It's been a long morning here on Coastal Daybreak with Mike McHugh and Ross behind the mic, but now we have live radio and good information to impart with Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins talking about life and taxes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike.
How are you doing this morning?
Doing well.
Excellent, excellent. What do you have on tap for us?
Well, Mike, we've got a first chance for you to wield the gavel of justice.
Ooh, I like doing that. Okay.
So we're going to go with a little tax court Thursday here today.
Can we have a two-panel judge here? Can we have Judge Ross and Judge Mike?
Judge Ross can certainly weigh in on this one. It's an interesting case, and it deals with timing rules, you know, and I think that it's very instructive, to our listeners, you know, regarding a couple of the rules that are kind of just known, but are applied in a little different way in this particular case. So, you know, one of the first rules we have to kind of preview this case, you know, is the mailing as filing rule, Mike.
Mailing as filing.
Mailing as filing.
Okay.
So, you know, we kind of all know this rule, and the reason for it was because before there was the hit send e-file button.
Ooh.
There was the mad dash to the post office on April 15th.
At midnight.
Yeah, midnight. Remember,
stamp.
All the post offices stayed open, and everyone was trying to get their postmark, their stamp on there prior to that April 15th deadline. I remember the news media being at the post offices.
And there would be a postal worker out there at the mailbox accepting mail.
Meeting people out in the parking lot.
And this year it is April 15th again.
So you know, we're all kind of familiar with the mailing as filing rule.
We got that.
And then there is this three-year rule regarding refunds. So, you know, we mentioned this before, which is if you have a refund that's due to you, Mike, and you do not file your return within 3 years.
Guess what?
Guess what you've just done?
You lose it.
You just poof.
Goodbye.
The refund goes poof.
Yeah.
It's gone. And so, you know, it's very imperative. This is a rule that we can't get around. So you must make sure that you get your return filed within that 3 year window, or else your refund goes poof and you've just made a costly mistake, which means that you forfeited your refund to the government, and you know, maybe they'll build something or do something with it, or who knows what.
In a quick elevator response speech, why would someone wait for 3 years for a refund? I can understand if they're owed money, but they're getting money back ostensibly.
Maybe we need to talk to Mark and Ellen Harrison, who happen to be the petitioners in our particular tax case today.
Where this is going?
Because Mark and Ellen Harrison had a $7,300 refund that was due to them for their 2012 tax return.
Okay.
So they actually had $16,000 worth of withholding, and their tax due was only $9,000. So they ended up with a $7,000 refund.
Wow. Okay.
And they actually filed for an extension, you know, for their 2012 return, meaning that it was due by October 15th, 2013.
Yeah.
And you know, things come up. You know,
3 years, Andrew.
You just things get away from you.
I've heard of procrastinating, but my goodness, okay.
So on October 11th, 2016, which is almost 3 years from their extended deadline date, they decide, hey, we're going to go ahead and mail this return in.
Okay.
And they mailed it in. It showed a refund of $7,300. And they're thinking,
We're good. We came in under the wire.
We're good.
Just by a couple days.
So we're gonna wait. We're gonna get our check in the mail.
And they waited.
Instead, guess what happens?
They get a notice that
says they're late. They're late filing. They did not meet the 3 year window. And so they end up having to go to federal district court.
Ooh.
Federal district court in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay. 'Cause
that's what happens. When you have a refund claim that you feel has been improperly denied by the IRS, you end up in federal district court. So they go there and they make two arguments. The first argument is, you know, what we said before, which is timely mailed is timely filed, right?
Yeah.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
We mailed it. We have proof we mailed it on October 11th, 2016. Our extended deadline would be October 15th, 2016.
Sure.
Clearly we've met the deadline.
Yeah.
Clearly we've met it. Okay. The next thing they said was, okay, even if you don't buy that rule, October 15th, 2016 was a holiday, was a Saturday.
Okay.
And so you received it on October 17th, 2016, which was that Monday. So because October 15th was on a Saturday, it should push the deadline for our return to October 17th, 2016. Doesn't that make a lot of sense, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely, Andrew. Much like when we said tax day is April 15th this year, but some years it's been the 17th because of the way the calendar falls and weekends. So I'm with you so far, counselor.
We've got two arguments that are made by the Harrisons.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, mailing is filing, and we timely mailed.
Yep.
Number two, fell on a Saturday, therefore the deadline should be extended to a Monday.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, you wield the gavel of justice. Do the Harrisons get their refund? Do that one of these two rules apply, or maybe both, that allow them to get their refund? Or do you think that the court ruled against the Harrisons, saying that they were too late in making their filing and they just did not meet the deadline because their return was actually received on October 17th, 2016, which is 2 days after.
I'm going to say what a sensible jurist should have ruled, and that is they should have followed the two guidelines of mailing as filing. What they did mailing it was no different than someone driving up to the post office back in the day and giving it to the postmaster hours before the April 15th filing deadline. Get it stamped, you're good to go. They qualified for the 3-year rule because they brought it in. They submitted it 4 days prior to the date, which actually was a Saturday, which should extend it to the 17th. Judge McHugh would have ruled in favor of Mark and Ellen and given them their $7,300 back. But I bet you the wheels of justice in Wisconsin, the wheels of justice made of cheese, probably ruled otherwise.
Judge Conley was the jurist in this particular matter. And he ruled against
because
the taxpayers. Because number one is that the timely mailed, timely filed rule only applies to returns that are mailed before the due date. And this return was beyond the due date. So keep in mind, if you're mailing your return before April 15th, which is why there's that mad dash to the post office on April 15th, the timely mail, timely filed rule applies. When you extend your deadline, that rule no longer is in effect.
Okay.
Okay? So they extended their deadline. They mailed it, even though they mailed on October 11th, which they can prove. That rule just simply does not come into play because this was not before the deadline.
Mm.
All right? That's rule number one. So that knocks them out of the timely mailed, timely filed rule. The next one, which is, hey, it fell on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Surely it should move the needle back to October 17th, 2016, which is the Monday, which you admit that's the day that the return was actually received.
Next business day.
October 15th was technically not a due date, and I'll put due date in air quotes for them. It was a date that needed to be achieved in order to look back to April 15th, 2013. Therefore, the Saturday rule does not apply.
Wow.
In this particular case. So guess what happened to the Harrisons? They forfeited $7,300 because they were 2 days late in their refund filing.
Yeah.
Judge Conley did note that the result was harsh because, you know, they seemed to have two pretty good arguments relative to rules they thought applied. And this gets back to what I will always say about the tax court. The tax court is not a court of equity. It is a court of laws. If there is not a law that applies to your matter to allow you to win, equities do not come into it. Can't mean that this result is unfair.
Yeah.
That we did what we thought was right. Doesn't matter.
Do they have
Can you point to a law that changes the result? And the answer in this particular case with the Harrisons is that two kind of what I would call rules that people take for granted, you know, that they thought would apply,
mm-hmm.
simply do not apply to their particular situation.
Can they appeal to a higher court?
They can.
You don't know if they did or not.
Yeah. So they can appeal to the circuit court.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd go up to the circuit court of appeals, and they certainly could go ahead and pursue that and see if one of these rules was misapplied at the district court level. The problem is, as I'll say, Mike, is that again, these rules seem to be pretty hard and pretty fast rules.
Well,
and it's laws, and they can't point to a law that's going to help them. And equity is not going to be a determining factor in this particular matter.
I think the Harrisons could have helped themselves, and you kind of touched on this earlier, that they had an excessive amount of withholding money, and when they did their taxes, they owed a lot less. You, as an attorney, and your colleagues in the accounting fields would probably tell these people, you know, check your withholding each year to make, because life changes, your income changes, your job status changes, and you don't want to get that big return. Yeah. I mean, any financial planner will tell you that. You want to kind of just, you know, break even a little bit. If you got to pay a little bit, that's cool. If you get a little bit back, but
and the other big huge lesson here is procrastination. I mean, they waited up to very end of the deadline, you know, and then they were looking for a couple of special rules to potentially save them. And unfortunately for them, it just did not apply to their particular situation. So, you know, know that 3-year rule exists, number one, and then make sure that you send it in 2 weeks before the deadline.
And you know, Andrew, that's pretty generous. Three years. My God. I mean, okay, you can't get your act together this year and you're owed money.
Yeah.
You should figure out a game plan, guys. Let's carve a little bit of time away here. Let's not go on that vacation. Let's get this behind us and figure it out.
How bad is $7,000?
It's money coming to us.
That's right.
It's money coming to us. That doesn't make sense. But anyway, there's a lot of people out there. And poor Mark and Ellen Harrison.
Well, Mike, your first ruling showed that you knew what the judge was going to do in this particular case.
I can read faces here. So, I didn't have any. Ross had to excuse himself from that hearing. So we'll get Roger Ross back on the next time we do legal taxes with Andrew Foster. If you want to reach Andrew, call him anytime at the office, 252-726-9050, or stop in the office, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City. You can reach him via email, afoster@harvellandcollins.com. He'll be back here next Thursday with more Life in Texas.